Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
is you living?
We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gang got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my pills dead, they took the road. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it, never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma,
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed,
may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison dangers. Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go a 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Bismillah. In the name of Allah, the Most High, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, Lord of all mankind and jinn and all that exists. Welcome everyone to another wonderful day, another wonderful day. By the mercy of God, we are all here. Point of impact, y'all. We are here tonight again to enjoy another wonderful day. Here we are, June the 4th, and we have a lovely guest joining us today. Delegate by the name out of the 92nd District of Norfolk, Miss Jackie Glass. I'm so grateful that she's going to be joining us today. And of course, you know, we got our team and our family here, the Mother Queen, Krista Ellison. Yes. Are you here, Ma?
Yes, okay. I'm here.
And the brother to the people, Hassan Shabazz. And, you know, Hassan, you with us, okay? And just to enlighten everybody, yesterday, all praises due to God, Liberation, Save the Youth Day was a wonderful day out in Burrard Park. We had a wonderful time with 757, you know, the official, original legend. Yes, of 757, my man Seven, and Alfonso, his team was out there. You know, brother James Whitley and and Fon was out there with us, and we really had a good time. We had Yaya, who is also a founder of Community United Focus, He was out there, Yahya Ibn Gaston, along with Umar, Sheikh Umar, Lamont Waltz. And like I said, we just had a wonderful time. We had lovely people come through. Many of you have already met. Commonwealth Attorney Ramin Fadi, he came through. The delegate who's running for senator, who we spoke to last week, Ms. Angela William Graves came through. We had, of course, Norfolk Councilman Mr. John Page came through, and we just had a wonderful time. And people, of course, we had the president of Norfolk branch of the NAACP, Ms. Stacey Armstead, was out there giving away free popcorn and cotton candy to the kids. And it was just wonderful. We just had a really wonderful Queen Mother Krista got drugged by the kids, by the girls, man.
Oh,
you know,
man.
And the tug of war, and the tug of war match with the kids. It was so crazy. It was so much fun, so much fun.
No.
gotta let them win.
Yeah, you gotta win sometimes.
And big,
all my superpowers.
Oh. And big shout out, big shout out to the Norfolk, branch. Yeah, big shout out to the Norfolk branch Youth Council. They was out there, and it was wonderful. And big ups to the DJ, the brother James. He was out there, and it was wonderful, man. I really had a wonderful time. But let's get right to the show with our wonderful guest, Miss Jackie. Are you with us?
I'm here.
Okay. How are you? How are you? First and foremost, how are you? Good evening.
Good evening. I'm well.
Okay. Well, you want to introduce yourself to the people?
Well, I guess you did a good job already. So I'm telling you, Jackie Class. I think so. I represent the 89th district, not the 92nd. We've got some really good things happening in our city. No, that is perfectly fine. But I, a mom, Navy veteran, I call myself a certified doer, and I'm the legislator for the 89th district and happy to serve. I'm for the area, Norfolk. I'm a come here, not a from here, but I say I got here as soon as I could. The military brought me here, and it's been I've had a very unique opportunity in being able to engage in the community at least at this level. I feel like I haven't been here long enough, but you know, when we do, and we try to make waves, and I'm just grateful to be in a place where we have more resources and more ways to do the things that we always wanted in the community.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let me just say to the people, you know, I met Ms. Glass back 2 years ago, actually. And I'm going to tell you, there are many people who work hard, and we don't want to discredit people who are out there working hard. But Ms. Jackie Glass, I do admire you for the hard work and the press that, the pressing of your hard work. You're consistent. I have to give it to you. You're very consistent with, most importantly, making your presence be aware and known in the community. I've seen you on the big scale as well as the small scale, always being present, serving your community, and I just want to thank you for that, personally, and let you know that, you're one of the people who kind of inspired me to continue doing the things I'm doing. And for those who don't know, she joined us. She spoke at our event that we had, the Criminal Justice Forum, which we had in fundraiser back in April the 14th, I believe. And she came through and really buzzed the crowd. Everybody was really feeling, the message she brought towards, returning citizens in criminal justice system. So, Ms. Glass, can you tell us what inspired you to pursue the avenues of politics as you do today? What inspired you to come?
I'll be honest. I wasn't pursuing. I was talking about this yesterday. Had to have a real honest conversation with some community members about our school system, right? And just like had to have a. I mean, we all like to sort of beat around the bush and ask for the big things without sort of talking about the smaller things that are affecting the big things. And it was a really hard conversation about just where our educational system is right now. And that's really how I got into this. The only reason why I ran for office the first time, which was back in 2018, was because I was going through it with my son and the school system. I mean, just going through stitches in the head. Like, it was just a lot. And I felt like much of it was there was a policy. It wasn't the fact that things were happening. It was the fact that there was no process to address it, right? Or the process to address it wasn't being followed. And my journey really started going up to the school board, having those real conversations, like getting at people's necks the same way I expect people to get at my neck. And we ended up having the first fully elected school board, an opportunity. And I tried. You know, I had only been here a year. And I was like, well, I'm at least at the very minimum, I'm going to raise some issues. And that was how it started. Now, the second time I ran, I didn't win, but I learned, right? We learned by 34 votes or so, like being just like a nobody from here. So I was really proud of myself and the middle schoolers that worked with me and the Norfolk Federations of Teachers. Those folks like helped me out. But the second time I ran was really, I say this and I'm not going to swear, but it really was to talk ish. I felt like there was some stuff happening, and it was like, all right, if they run it, we're going to force them to have election, because that was part of it. We got to force them to have this election and do it the right way, and ain't nobody going to say what needs to be said. So I'm just going to say all the things, and I ended up having to take it seriously. So my journey came through accountability, at least the ABCs of governance, which what I believe in is A is accountability, B is boldness, and C is coalition building. And every step of the way, it was just like, I know that accountability feels uncomfortable, but you expect it from me as a taxpaying citizen, as a law-abiding citizen, there's a level of accountability. Boldness, we got to be willing to say what needs to be said, and then like work through that. And we got to do coalitions, we got to do it with people. And that's how I got here. And I'm still learning politics, if I could be so honest. Like, I understand the community as so much as it allows me to understand, with people like you allowing me to be in spaces and places to stay close to the ground and be able to speak from hopefully a place of truth. But there's another side of the work that I do that is politics that I'm still navigating. You know, and I think, you know, I get that. That's what I had to do in the military. Every facet of our lives is legislated, right? So you don't, and I know I tell people this, and I remind myself, you ain't got to like politics, but you for damn sure better like policy, because every facet of your life is based off some form of policy one way or another. And so that's what I hold on to as I learned this political game that I done got into over the past 16 months.
Wow. Okay, Mother Queen Krista, would you like to introduce yourself and ask a question?
Yes. Well, I've had the pleasure of meeting Ms. Glass. Like, this is probably our third or fourth time. So for me, when I hear you say, when we talk about the kids and the youth all the time, there are phrases like preschool to prison pipeline, and they're, you know, we're governed under a system that does not really allow for us to thrive at our best ability. So when you hear preschool to prison pipeline, or, you know, things like that, how does that make your job, or what is your fight when you hear phrases like that, and what should we all focus on to help you help us?
Okay, so if I'm hearing, I heard several things, right? What do I hear when I hear preschool to prison pipeline? What is my role in that? And then what people should focus on, right? Am I repeating that back? I do that for myself.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make sure. So when I hear that, I only hear a sense of reality, right? Preschool to prison pipeline, like that is what I feel like myself as a mother am working against for my son, right? Like, for my son, and when I say my son, I gave birth to one boy, but I have many children, right? And now being an elected official, I have a sense of responsibility to, one, acknowledge that there is a system in place that will criminalize our young people. And if we keeping it real, like the way in which young women are being criminalized in this educational system is skyrocketing. Like, it's a thing. So when I hear that, it's just a statement of fact and a statement of reality of the way the system is set up. When I think about my role, I think I I know that when we talk about, especially when we talk about education and systems, that there's always many pieces or many intersections to that issue, right, to that institution. And when we talk about schools, I see, I don't just think about what happens behind the doors, but what happens around those doors that influence what happens in the doors. Does that make sense? So, like, there's a role that I have just within community development and getting actually advocacy, because that's a huge piece of it. My heart breaks sometimes when I see that there are children that don't necessarily know how to advocate for themselves, and that there are people and parents and guardians that are like, look, I done tried. I can't do this. That's why when I initially, the first time I ran, I started this group called Mamas on the Block, the MOB, M-O-B. And it was just a means, because I would knock on one door, I would talk to a woman, and she'd be like, yo, I got this problem at the school, and ain't nobody helped me, and you know, just like going off. And then I would go four doors down, and I would meet the next lady, and she would say the same stuff. Like, I was like, do you know you got a neighbor? Do you know your neighbor? And they're like, I don't even know her. So the MOB was an effort to make sure, and this was for mothers, right, mothering people too, that no one went to school by themselves. If it was, I can't tell you the number of times people looked at me like I was crazy because I was walking in an IEP meeting of a child that was not mine, right? Mama signed the permit. You want to know that this child has a community behind them, right? So, like, I think that when we look at being closest to the ground, because policy won't get us so far, people have to execute it, but my responsibility is to help build a community that understands that they have a right to show up, that a child and a parent that has understand they have the right to advocate, and then be a part of the system piece that makes it easier for them to do so, that legitimizes their right to be there, because we've got this movement going on about parents' rights, and I'd be like, yo, which parents are you talking about? Because I've been trying to get my rights behind the doors and get people to advocate and get people to see for my child, right? For the times y'all tried to suspend him in second grade for having a Nerf gun in his backpack. Like, you know, like, I've been in that process. So I see my role as not just using my experience, but using my sphere of influence to put people up on game on how we can work, create a system that works for us. And that's going to take a lot. And like I said, it's not just inside the doors. It's the things that happen within the community that allow us to show up behind those doors. And then when I want what people should do, I'm very weary of telling people, you know, this is the thing, unless I know this is the thing that we need for the move that I'm about to make, right? Like, I'm about to make this move, and I'll be like, hey, Queen, I'm about to make this move. I need you and your people to get behind this. But when it comes to this preschool to prison pipeline, what I ask people to do, the easiest thing to do is find what matters most to you, especially when it comes to our education system and our youth, right? Like, what is your thing? I can think of 7 different organizations right now that do 7 different things that help mitigate the influence of this preschool to prison pipeline. So I'm saying doing nothing is not an option. You can volunteer. I'm just going to shout out one organization that I'm in with all the time is Young Investors Group. We work with incarcerated youth. My friend of mine, Kezia Hendricks, we are with court-appointed youth, where we find a way to get in their community and bring them to spaces and places and people. So, like, it's all of the things. And when you figure out, when you decide what matters the most to you, I promise you, you can call 757-472-1293 or 1392, and we're going to get you there and tell you how it fits the mission, because it's too many of us, right? Like, I feel like people are like, I really am passionate about this. I just don't know how to get there. That's where we have. We hot plan, strategize, mobilize to get to where we need to be. And I know they feel like there may be some things that need to be more specific, but it is – It is imperative that we all find that thing that matters the most to us, because all the things intersect with that, with the preschool to prison on pipeline.
And may Allah God continue to increase Ms. Kizzy and yourself and your efforts. Hassan, is there anything you'd like to comment about or ask a question and introduce yourself?
Yes. Oh, yes, most definitely. And, well, you know, this is Hassan, brother to the people, as Malau always says. And I had the esteemed pleasure of actually, you know, meeting Delegate Glass at the Point of Impact forum that we had in April. And I could not wait until tonight to have an opportunity to see you again, because you address so many issues at that forum. And when I hear you speak tonight, and you're talking about the preschool to prison pipeline and how you became involved with this movement, right? What we're striving to do for liberation, right? And I'm what I'm reminded of is Noble Drew Ali, who was the founder of the Moore Science Temple of America. He stated that a man finds himself in the place where he solves his problems the best. And in this case, I'm saying that a woman finds herself in a place where she solves her problems the best, because your example of how you got involved with not even being from here is just a testament to the fortitude that I see within you when you're out there representing for the people. Wow. Right? And so I would love for you to just speak a little bit about civic engagement. Right, how, because that's how you became involved with it. You became involved with civic engagement to hold people accountable. Speak a little bit about that for the people, please.
Sir. Okay. Yes, sir. And Norfolk was the first place that I was able to put roots in. Right, I was in the military for 11 years. My husband retired here, and he straight said, like, yo, this is where we need to be. And I was like, no, because when you're in the Navy, nobody, well, I ain't going to say nobody. Most people don't want to come to Norfolk. I was never stationed here, so I came here, and once I got out. But once we knew we were setting in, I knew how I cut up. Not I'm going to say cut up. I was a very great sailor. Well, I'm not too. I was a good sailor, but I know that it was hard for me because I was always – challenging people, at least I feel like, to do better by other folks. And it felt like everything felt like it was a fight. And I was like, well, this is crazy. Yeah. But then I got out thinking, you know, that things would be a little bit different. And when I got my roots in, when we finally bought a house and got my roots in, I committed myself to figuring out how can I add value. And I to encourage people to ask yourselves in your community, how do I add value? That may be you as the person giving your neighbor a plate because, you know, they're senior citizen. That might be you I put chalk out in front of my house, in front of my fence, and just tell the kids you have it, and when you're done with it, I just expect it to be put back. Like, they're very, we cannot change the world, but we can change our corner of the world. And so I came here asking myself, how do I be a good part of changing the corner of the world? And it was not easy at first, right? We have these things called civic leagues here. And I told myself, I'm going to do 30 cups of coffee in 90 days. And I say coffee, tea, or Slurpee because I'm more of a Slurpee person. But I said, I want to meet people. And I intentionally sought people out over 90 days during the time that I was able to. I reached out to my city council person. I reached out to my school board member. I reached out to all these organizations and people just to say, hey, you know, tell me a little bit more about the area. I want to get dug in. I want to, you know, be good. And part of what I was told was to go to a civic league. Now, I went to the civic league meeting in my community. And I'll tell you, I was by far the youngest person there by 30 to 40 years. Do you know what I'm saying? And that was hard, right? That was a little hard at first. So I showed up and kept showing up. And the more when I came with ideas, they were like, nah, no, no, not here. But I was, because I was outnumbered. I'm saying this because if you are under the age of 60 and you are joining some of these spaces and places, you will be in the minority. You will be.
Right.
And there will be a challenge because it feels like as younger folks, and I'm 39 at this point, and I'm still a younger folk in that room, they feel like we're just coming to just assert ourselves, and they've been here forever. You ain't even been here. You don't even know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when I finally got a leadership role, it took, you know, the president of the Civic League saying, like, yo, we need to start listening to the other opinions in the community. She needed to step up. I had a community member pull up on me and was like, we don't want you to be our Civic League president. We don't want, like, come to the house. Wow. It was tough. But I understand that is a fear response, right? That is a fear of change. And I asked them, you know, we can build a bridge or we can build a wall. And I didn't realize that, you know, it was like this. We neighbors. I just want to do, and it takes that because we have real generational challenges with civic engagement. And I'm saying that, again,
right.
We have real generational challenge with civic engagement. The expectation is very mm-hmm. different. You're talking about five different generations trying to engage five different generations on how we live now, right? That is difficult, but it is not impossible. And so I would say if you are thinking about getting civically engaged, you start in your own backyard, right? Do you even know the three people on your block, your three neighbors, or actually six neighbors, the one behind you, diagonal next to you, diagonal in front of you, diagonal and the one next to you, right? Do you even know your neighbors, right? Like, start right there. That is civic engagement in and of itself, because when I know something, I'm telling you, Lakia knows something, Miss Evelyn knows something, Mr. John knows something, Mr. Lafayette knows something. So, like, it becomes you create this world of information sharing and opportunity sharing right on your block.
Right.
That's where civic engagement starts. All of us can't go to school board meetings. All of us can't go to city council meetings. We can't be I missed y'all cookout the other day. Like, we can't be everywhere. But I'm sure if I know somebody at touch points there, like, you go back and you get your brother, you get your sister, and you share that information. And I'm saying it, and I'm going to say it again, it can be difficult. It can be. If I tell you just some of the stuff I done been through with some folks that look like me, some folks that don't look like me, some folks that's older or younger than me, that you'll be like, what? I can't believe they said. Yeah, they said it. But hindsight, when time passed, history ruled in my favor, right?
Mm-hmm.
That patience.
Mm-hmm.
So we got real opportunities. We just got to start in our own backyard, and that does come at a cost. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm rambling on. I apologize, but
No.
No,
you really. You spoke well to the topic, and which the brother had, and I thank you for it, because that's endearing, and a lot of people don't understand. It is tough. It is tough to get people involved, and just to create communication. Because in this society we live in, especially in the African American community, it's all about, I don't see nothing, I don't know nothing, mind my business. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So a lot of times I definitely get that is a real experience that we all possibly go through from time to time. At this moment, Jay Sean, do we have any callers calling in? If you're trying to call in and you like to give a positive comment, or you like to add or ask a positive question, please press 1. We welcome you to call in and join us in this conversation. Jayshawn, do we have anyone that's called in?
Yeah, this is Brother Miles. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Miles. Hey, man, we missed you last week, brothers.
No, I was listening last week. I just didn't get in.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
To both of the ladies.
Hold on, brother.
Okay, to the your host there, the one who was what was that, tug of war? Yeah, they beat you.
Yeah,
Chris. Yeah, she let them. She ain't let them. They dragged the court to fill.
Oh man.
And to the other sister, you keep up the good work, lady. Don't let them push you away. You keep fighting, because if you get tired of down there, come up here to Patterson. We could use you. I just want to know, I heard that they're trying to send a pipeline through Virginia. Have any of y'all heard about that?
Yeah, man. Yeah, the Mountain Valley Pipeline. If you are,
I'm telling you. That's not a good thing.
Right. Nah, man. No, it is not. No, it is not. It was a part of the debt ceiling deal, and I think many people were sort of shocked that, the president would allow that to be a part of it. There are some folks that I believe are NAACP, and I don't know if it's through them or if she's doing off, but we have Kim Sutter, this one person that I know that's working on in our area, organizing around, saying no. So if anybody in the area is looking for people that are on the same vein of just, we not having this, I will reach out to the environmental chair of our local chapter just for the ins and out of the movement, because I think they've already done one sort of pushback for it at our federal courthouse already.
Mm.
Yeah, Kim Shutters is the woman she's speaking of. Yeah, Kim Shutters is the chairperson for the environmental committee. So you can reach out to the Norfolk branch, NAACP 7098, and she's a very nice lady, very sincere woman in the issues concerning environmental issues in our community. So, Ms. Glass, let me ask you something. You know, I've been around you for a while, and I've seen you do a lot of work. What do you feel like is most missing from most of our politicians in this city that maybe don't engage as much as they should with the citizens that they represent?
So if I heard you correctly, it's like, what do I think is the issue or the difference
right.
between the way people – here, what I think, if I can be so candid, is ultimately everybody's doing the best they can, and we have to choose whether we're okay with their best, especially when it comes to engagement. This is why elections and things like that, people say elections matter. Like, this is why it matters. It's because you have people that, you know, that you might not see them. But I know that there are people that I probably won't see. I am charged with representing almost 84,000 people, right? And roughly,
wow.
Thereabouts, right? So I'm not going, and I think maybe 50,000 of them are actually
Welcome
registered
to
vote.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold, and you will be able to listen to the show.
Okay.
Is that me?
I'm sorry.
Am I still there? No, you're fine.
Okay.
There it is.
I'm sorry, Ms.
There it is.
There you go.
No, it's listen. Production is a thing, right? I support the creative economy. Okay. Production is certainly understand, but what I'm saying is that there are over 56,000 people that are registered to vote. I'm not going to see everyone all the time. I'm not going to be at all the places. So I ask for grace because there are people that may look at me as active as I am. It's like, where's she at? I don't never see her.
Right.
And I doesn't say, well,
right.
I got a part-time job with full-time problems, and I try to be at all the places and spaces that I possibly can. I think that it is important if you feel like you're in a place where you're not seeing your representative enough, give them the chance to say, forget you to your face, invite them, right? Because we get pushed and pulled.
Yeah.
All the time, like I like this weekend, five different events, right? And like I said, I get paid, and I say this out loud to people, I don't do this for the money because I get paid $17,000 a year to do this job, right? So I have to maintain some sort of full-time employment. Also, I'm a wife and a mother, so like, and I do like to try to take care of myself. So like, there's a push and pull. So if you feel like you're not seeing your person enough, grant them some grace, invite them out, give them the opportunity to just not show up. Because oftentimes they're in spaces and places. And I'm not saying that's like that for everybody. I'm just going to speak for Jackie Glass, is that like, send me an invitation. I don't know all the things that are happening all the time. But in that same vein, there are people that literally just – they show up when they're supposed to show up. They end the rooms where the people ain't at. And we have to decide whether or not that's something we want by making sure when we cast our ballots, it ain't for that, right? We got to make people work. But if we're constantly, like this woman said at an event I was at the other day, she's 76 years old, and she was like, you know, she was like, Jackie is the first delegate that I voted for that I actually knew what I was voting for. So all these years I've been voting for delegate, I had no idea what they're supposed to do. How do you hold me accountable if you have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing, right? So there's that piece of, like, two things. Know what you expect of these people and then hold them to that expectation. That's accountability. But if you're not holding, if you don't know what to expect out of them, if you expect them to just be in the community and that's it, and then they go and they're doing a crap job up in Richmond, or they sitting behind the dais in Norfolk or the dais in at the school board building and doing nothing, then that's still a problem too. It's nice to have you at the events, but I also need you to do your job. It's a holding in the hands of what we expect of politicians, because that's what we are. Of what we expect of them, and then holding them accountable to that. And when we talk about presence, you gotta do the invitation in. And I hope that answers the question, because I ain't gonna shade nobody. I'm just like, look, I know, like I said, I know it's people that's like, where's she at? And you, we on this call, and you're like, yo, I just saw her. Like, she was just here, and there. You know, so give them the chance, and that's what I do for people in life. Give me the opportunity to mess up. Right.
Wow. That's right. And see, that's what I'm saying, folks. This is why I dig this late. Like, you know, we don't, that's one of the things we don't do on the show. We don't come for people. We just speak to, you know, the issues and the topics and try to find out where we can all meet at a point and come up with a solution, you know, and that's the thing. It's all about working together, not shaming each other, not kicking dirt on each other. It's just trying to figure out, well, you know, what do you need from me, and what can I do for you, and, you know, and how you can help me, and how I need you to help me. And these are the things that we have to communicate. Mother Krista, Mother Queen, you want to speak? You want to comment or say anything else? Okay, she may not be with us. Hassan?
She may be a little bit busy. I most definitely am digging everything that I'm hearing from Delegate Glass. Because ultimately, when we talk about civic engagement, like she said, when you're talking about people, you know, just seeing their face in the community, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's good. But the most important part of it is what goes on down in Richmond where the laws are made, right?
Right.
And people have to be more familiar with that terrain. And I think it's important for us to really start to promote civic engagement workshops, right? Where we start to teach people how a bill is made, because people don't really know the process. They don't really know and understand how it is that they can be involved in that process. So, I would love for us to be able to collaborate, to do some things out in the communities. I'm working with Richmond Restorative Justice, along with what we're doing with FOE and in Gilpin Court. And what we're striving to duplicate, not only in the Big Six in Richmond, but everywhere else in Virginia that we can touch to promote what it is that's needed for us to really take control of our lives. So I just appreciate everything that you're doing, Delegate. I mean, really. You know, my heart goes out to you.
Yeah. I do. And I'll tell you this, right? So, like, I'm 16 months on the job, right? Still growing, still trying to figure my life out and how I'm going to do this and what I'm going to do. And last summer we held this thing called Summer School for Certified Doers. And really it's a four-hour course, and we did it in one-hour chunks virtually, just doing exactly what you said. Where does a bill start? How do you engage? What is the General Assembly? What is a delegate? Like all this thing from start to finish, some of the people came in thinking, I'm about to make a new law, and they found out I just needed to go to my civic league. I'm about to make a new law. Oh, no, that's just a policy change, and I need to go advocate at the city council. So just sometimes we have to know what tree to bark up, because it is advantageous for us to bark up to the wrong tree to make sure there's no accountability. Like, if I'm barking up the tree of the mayor and I'm supposed to be talking to my delegate, you think that's going to get done? We will be having Summer School for Certified Doers again. I'm looking for an actual physical venue, because there are people that are like, I will do a four-hour workshop with you during the day, and I'm still going to do it virtually because I feel like access is important. But we'll be doing that, and I'm willing to teach that. Actually, a girl up in Northern Virginia asked me to teach that class, and I did. I taught it virtually for some people up in Northern Virginia. So, like, if you want me to teach Summer School for Certified Doers, or give you the curriculum so that you could teach it, because I don't have no problem sharing what I have, then we can do that.
Nice.
But that's what we do, because the most dangerous thing we can do to the status quo is be educated. right? If people know what is supposed to be happening, and that's the right thing to do. I told you my office is built off of principle. That's the first thing we did. I said we are here to educate, advocate, celebrate, and legislate. And we can't legislate well without doing those first three brilliantly. So we're in a phase of education constantly to help people become better advocates, and we're going to celebrate those wins and then get the legislation that matches it.
She had it streaming this summer, all summer, on Facebook, and it was really I was busy working a lot. I couldn't indulge in it. It was kind of upsetting to me because I really wanted to be a part of that, and it was really nice to see her taking the time to educate and implore. And as we often speak towards re-education and recultivation, Crystal, is there anything you want to add? I know you had to step away for a minute.
Yeah, so for, like she said, just to kind of piggyback, we need to really equip ourselves with knowing the law, knowing our rights, being able to be more advocacy for not just ourselves, but for the youth too, and just equip the youth on how to advocate for themselves as well. So those type of classes. For myself, I was supposed to have a democracy center of my own to lead, but I could never find a building. So now that I'm kind of found a building, I'm hoping to start a democracy center where I can have the community to hold little workshops, like you said, and teach them the law and teach them how to advocate for themselves. And even, like you said, bill writing and things of that nature will come once they know how the chain of command and how things are, the system works, so that we don't have to be bound by the system, but we can also, work our own system within. So I'm really excited about all the things that are coming along, all the people who are out here doing the work, boots on the ground, in the office. We're no longer, we're spread out, so that we all can do the work from wherever we are.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about what's going on.
Yeah.
Jay Sean, do we have any other anyone else calling in that would like to ask a positive question or give a positive comment?
Not at this time.
Okay. And Ms. Glass, can you tell us what is it that you're moving towards right now? And if you can share with us, what is it that you're ideally focused on and hoping to bring about change with passing some new bills? Can you share that with us?
Yeah. So I start working on legislation in June. Literally this month I've been packed with phone calls. I know that sounds crazy because it's only the fourth. I'm stacked with, figuring out what I'm going to carry and what I'm not going to carry. And it's election year, so I have to, be mindful. I have an election in November, so it's a process. My goal, and this is just to give everybody a timeline, and then I'll talk about what we're working on, is from June all the way up until August, I'm having conversations with, community members, organizations, other legislators, the executive branch about these sorts of bills, and people that lobby for different things about the bills that we want to bring forth. By August, I should have a firm, this is what I'm going to be carrying, this is how I suspect I'll be carrying it, and I can submit it to be drafted, and then get these bills drafted, and then September and October, we'll review the drafts, get them to where we need to be, and then get ourselves ready, because once I go up to session, because I'm going to work hard, I ain't going to let nobody outwork me, and I'm going to win this election, but in January, we go up there and we get to work. So I've got to have my agenda together already by January. That's just the timeline. So what I'm working on this right now is I've already had meetings about the creative economy. I know that's something people may not be familiar with, but these are all the things, from people that cook to people that make movies to people that build video games, do all that stuff. We were trying to work on getting funds and opportunities for creativity for people just like this, radio too, right? For creative, independent content creators and creative entrepreneurs to have a space, just as we make space for technology and farming and restaurants and all those different things. So that's one piece. Two, I'll be doing some things with solar. We've got a lot of people that have been getting scammed. At least I know that was been a big thing about these solar companies, so trying to do consumer protections on the solar stuff before people just give it all a bad name. I will be bringing back a couple of the criminal justice bills that I had surrounding youth interrogation. I firmly believe that we have to change our interrogating processes, and that we shouldn't be afforded that. It's not that the police need more tools. It's just we need to get better with times and do better work. So I'll be bringing back the falsified documents, not being able to make fake documents to get a conviction. And then there's one that I'm working on right now with a lawyer about ensuring that law enforcement don't wait until a youth turns 18 before they prosecute them for a crime. That's happening here. A child will do something when they're 17, and they'll wait to press charges, but wait to bring them on until their 18th birthday, like hold them and then charge them as an adult. So like there's some things there we're working out. I'll be meeting with the Sheriff's Association and all kinds of folks over the next couple of weeks, working on some things for the care economy, child care, veteran bills. I'm hopeful to start getting some work on or to make some headway on this bill that they say you got to be 55 to be able to get tax benefits from being a veteran here. And then I'm trying to think of what else is on the list. I have a whole list on the wall because it's going to be a long session just for people to understand this session that we're going into next year, which will be an even year. So it'll be 2024, making it an even year. That is when we get a new budget, right? We have a biannual budget, means that happens every 2 years. So 1 year we make a budget, the second year we create changes to that budget. So we'll get the governor we currently have is going to make his new budget, and that's going to be a big thing because influencing where the money goes needs to happen between June and October, right? Already getting our priorities in there, and there's some that we need to be talking about and need to be pushing the executive branch towards. And I'll be putting in some budget amendments. A budget amendment is where I put in a request for money for a specific thing. So this past session, I put in a budget amendment for, like, the medical examiner's office to get more money to be able to, they say no body, no case, but no medical examiner, no charge. Like, it's a whole bunch of things, like, that are messing with the system. We're going to do some more work with victims' compensation, which hopefully will help with gun violence. We changed the law so saying that if somebody's a victim of a crime, that they should not mandatorily have to cooperate with the police in order to get benefits that we say are already allotted to them. Like, we changed that.
Right,
and there's some more work with victims, sort of how we interact with victims of crime to help solve crime. But it's a lot. However, just because I said that handful that we're working on doesn't mean that what you all or your listeners out there may have isn't something that we can't work on. And if I'm being really candid, is that, like, if you tell me an idea, a bill or whatever, and I know I can't carry it, I guarantee you I'm going to find the right person to carry you with to be able to carry that bill if they can carry it. Like, I know that I can't do all the things. Even if they say I can carry 100 bills, I'm not doing that because that's a disservice because of how I have to show up and be in committees. I'm probably going to carry maybe 12, between 12 and 15 because it's a longer session. That means I can carry more bills. But don't hesitate to reach out because we can start matching you up with the right organizations and the right people for your issue. We've got that bill we had last year that establishes religious holidays or instruction so that kids in school, that Muslim kids, they don't have to get their test count at zero because they had religious instruction. We're going to bring that bill back. It died last session. We're going to bring that back too. So, like, this is the work. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, that was with one Umar, who I'm also a member of, and Lamont Waltz, and was executive director of one Umar, and big up to the team. May Allah continue to bless us. And thank you. I'm so grateful for you taking the time to join us today. I deeply appreciate it. And me and my co-host, we really adore you. We appreciate all you're doing and the efforts of your work, because as you did explain, a lot of people forget that we are, these people are out here working, living their lives, and you are a mother and a wife, and also you have your family to be concerned about, but yet you make it your most endearing responsibility to respond to the issues that you see going on in your community to possibly
bring about change, and that's really admirable. And people really need to humble themselves and continue to, you know, allow you to, you know, to do the work you're doing. I see you as a positive example in this community out here. Of course, people don't always agree, but that's still cool. You know, it's everybody has their mindset of what they would like to see done. And I'm just very appreciative of you taking the time to come on to our show, because I know you are a very busy woman. And because it used to be a time I could pick up the phone and call her. Well, today I've got to go through her staff and things, because she's very busy, and I respect that, you know.
Thank
you so much. No, I do.
Can I say this too? I want to say this too. Is I ask anybody, at least how we run our office, is like, do not try to manage my time. And I'm saying this in the most endearing way to anybody that's trying. Don't let me say no. Tell me about something, or not invite me to something, or not say because you think I'm too busy. Don't worry about that. Give me the chance to say no. Don't say no for me. I just ask. Give me that chance. It's like sometimes I can show up. Sometimes I prioritize. Maybe I will just say, look, I'll shift some things around and I'll be there or whatever. Just give me the opportunity to say no. I really do ask that.
Well, I mean, I personally, you know, yesterday you wasn't able to show by the grace of God, you had other things to do. But, you know, we appreciate, you know, because you do a lot of other things. You know, you've always made yourself available for us, and I'm grateful for it. And sometimes people just have to appreciate the fact that people have other things going on in their life, and we have to be empathetic and have empathy for other people's lives and stop being so, you know, self-consumed that it's all about us. You know what I'm saying? It's all about me. No, and, you know, human politicians or whatever you want to, you know, activists are people, the human beings. And, you know, there's so much that we can put on our plate to where we have to, you know, handle our own affairs. And I know that so well myself. You know, a lot of times people invite me to events and I'm not always able to show face, you know, and it disappoints me, actually. You know, I feel a certain way when I can't show up to certain events. So I can imagine how you do. But we, at this point, if there are any last words that you'd like to leave the audience with.
No, that's it. I'm grateful. Like, just as y'all time is just as precious. So I thank you for making time to do this, to have this space in place, and for giving me the opportunity to be a part of it. And I just say, like, I genuinely love you. I do.
I love you.
I love the work that you do, and I'm grateful for each and every last one of you. And, like, that's it. It's an honor to serve, and I hope that people feel like you can come to me with the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you don't like what I'm doing, it's okay. I take it. That's part of the job. We got to be able to take that too. But sometimes I'm a human being, and I get so conscious, and I'll be like, man, I don't feel like I'm doing nothing. Sometimes it's just like the encouragement helps too, because there are days where I feel like I just it's not enough of me to give. But I want to be of service. So, again, thank you all for your service and for the work in your corner of the world. And I hope every one of your listeners model your example and find their little thing that they want to do to make a change in their little corner of the world.
Thank you so much. Yes. All right. Krista, Queen Mother, Mother Queen, you want to speak? You want to say anything in closing?
Yes, once again, just thank you for being so transparent and just being able to share, you know, your goals, your future aspirations, and things that you have going on with us so that we know how to move in the community as well to align with what you have going on and vice versa. So we just thank you for your time and your presence.
All right. Hassan?
And I just want to echo exactly what Krista said. And then, you know, I want to add on also that, you know, I acknowledge and we acknowledge your sacrifice. We hear it. We see that, you know, you it's a lot of time that you sacrifice from being with your family to be in the community, to be out with the people in the public, and that's your greater family as well, and we understand that. But we acknowledge your sacrifice, and just for you to know that a sacrifice is not something that you lose. It's not a loss, right? It's something that you give up. It's something that you give up to put yourself in a better position, right? It's something that you give up to put yourself and your family, your community, your nation, your country in a better position. And so we just want to thank you from the top to the bottom of our hearts for all of your sacrifice, all of the work that you're putting in. And if you are anything but an example for the people to follow and to see how they can take little bits of what you do and apply to their lives, that we can make a better world, a better community, right? A better corner, like you said. So just thank you once again.
In closing, I just want to tell you, Ms. Jackie Glass, I love you very much, and my team, we love you very much. And I do often pray for you because I know that you are one of the people that I'm cheering for. You know what I'm saying? And I hope that you can continue to win in the platform that you're addressing and the many issues that you're addressing. But just so you know, Community United Focus, Freedom Over Everything, Point of Impact, we're here for you in any way that you need our assistance, in any way that we can assist you to better get your issues out, or if you need us in any way, just contact me and we'll put boots on the ground for you. You know, that's what we're here for. You know, because you can't do it all by yourself. And even though you have a wonderful team, they can't do it all. You know what I'm saying? So we are here in any way that you may need us. Just call on us. And just as you're there for us, we're desperately wanting to be there for you. Okay?
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
We're going to let you get off this phone, and we're going to get off this phone. And before we go, though, Jason, do we have anyone else called in?
No, not at this time. That's it. Just all listeners.
Okay. Well, that's good. That means everybody taking it in. That's wonderful. So once again, everyone, we want to thank you all for joining us tonight. And before we go, we're going to let our producer, Jay Sean, give us some last words that he may, as we all know. Let's see what he's going to say today.
This has been a really, really, really good show. to the guest, a couple of people texted me and tell her to keep up the good work.
That's right. So with that, we're going to close tonight, and I just want everyone to please continue to be safe and always be considerate of others. You know what I'm saying? Always keep in mind that, you know, you may be going through something, but everybody else is also going through something. So sometimes just take a moment to breathe before you react. You know what I'm saying? You know, we have an equation that my man Rodney White used to always say in reentry. You know what I'm saying? You have E plus O equals R. I mean, excuse me, you have E plus R equals O. Now, what that is E is the event, R is the response, and, of course, the outcome is what you get. You know what I'm saying? So let's sometimes just pause before we react. You know what I'm saying? And let's think about other people instead of just always thinking about ourselves. And I give all praise, alhamdulillah, to the Lord, the Most High, and give all thanks to Him for having this opportunity for us to be here and present today, for everyone to be well. And, I'm asking everyone, please stay tuned and pay attention. The Norfolk branch of NAACP is having the inaugural Men's Summit on August the 4th. That's right. It's going to be a Men's Summit on August the 4th. Please go pay attention to the flyer on Facebook or in your neighborhood and anywhere. It's going to be out here in Norfolk at the headquarters on North Military Highway. On August the 4th, which is a Friday, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Okay, so please join us. It's going to be a wonderful night of dinner for men and young men to come together and talk about, you know, the issues of loving yourself and leadership in the family and in the community. So please join us if you're able. We'd love to have you. Please contribute in any way that you possibly can because, you know, we love giving back to our community so that we can better aid the people in need in our community, okay? So with that, we're going to close, and I just want everyone to be safe. But most importantly, I want to remind everyone at this very moment, stop whatever it is you're doing, and let's do something that will benefit you in this life, as well as the hereafter, and something that will benefit your family and something that will benefit your community and your locality. Let's all strive towards that which is pleasing to our Lord. Everyone, please be safe and take care of yourselves, and we'll see you again next weekend. Point of Impact, join us every Sunday night at 7 p.m., and let's have a discussion. Let's talk about the real issues, and let's come up with some real solutions, and let's just be safe and take care of one another. Everyone, please have a wonderful night. Assalamu alaikum.
I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future's scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you won't wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.